I worked a lot from home, and that's very difficult to do as a chef that works with his hands. But, you know, I stayed busy. I adopted a dog, a Texas Heeler, and she's fantastic. And that year went by pretty fast, and we're all ready to get back to work.
As an employer, your business depends on your staff. They are the backbone of your company. But because you face unique challenges managing your team, you need to have the right resources. On this podcast, industry expert Alex Atwood tackles it all so you don't have to.
Chef Dwayne Keller, it's great to see you.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's start here. So you come from a legacy of professional hockey players, and you yourself, you're a gold medal winner. You could say it's in your DNA, right? So tell me how that DNA has manifested itself in your life, in your current role.
Well, I always thought I was just in the right place at the right time, but it occurred to me over the last maybe decade that maybe I had a little bit something to do with it. Being from a professional hockey background and a family that held each other accountable, it's kind of a perfect formula for what I do. You know, working with people and working with food is wonderful. I wouldn't do anything different. Never thought about doing anything different in my whole career. I often relate to what I do as being a contact sport because it's 50% physical, 50% mental. So you have to go out every day with your team, put your people in the right place, give them the tools to succeed, and go out and win the game, which is wowing our guests, wowing our clientele.
Amazing, amazing. And that sounds like there's a lot of leadership involved there. So tell me, how do you define leadership?
Well, leadership is setting a good example. Basically, I'm kind of a player coach. So I do all the things that everybody else does in the kitchen. If I start a new position and it's an existing operation, I'll actually start in the stewarding department and help them because that's the most challenging job. Once they're good, they got all the tools to be successful. That's physical tools and leadership tools like training. Then I'll move to the next department, which is usually the pantry. After the pantry is set, and there's a lot of detail in the pantry, then I'll move on to the hot side. But I say this kind of like moving around. I'm moving around the whole kitchen at the same time, but I kind of focus on these departments and move up as I would use my other leadership, my sous chefs, to maintain until I get around to that point. And then we just basically lift the whole team up.
Yeah, got it. So for those of you that don't know, the stewarding department is where the dishes are done. That's literally ground level in terms of a kitchen. So I think what I'm hearing you say is your leadership starts from the bottom up. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
Absolutely. So you know everything that's going on from the back of the house down to where the dishes are washed and how those are done, all the way to your sort of co-leaderships, right, with your sous chefs and all of that. Totally got it. Where do you find and how do you define integrity within that leadership structure that you just defined for me? How do you see integrity showing up?
Doing only what you say you're going to do. And, you know, that can be a lot at times. There's certain goals that you have daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. And when you say something, you got to put, you know, action behind it. You have to actually do what you say you're going to do. And that is the integrity to being a manager.
Right. You are your word. Does that sound right? You give your word and therefore you are your word. I love that. Yeah. And I hear that a lot from leaders that I talk to all over. You know, it starts with integrity. You build that baseline. You can count on you for being your word, and then everything builds from there. So I want to hear about you. How did you embark on a culinary career? Why aren't you playing professional hockey right now and taking on that legacy? There's something in you that wanted to drive you towards the kitchen. Tell me about that. How did that all start?
I worked for some neighbors that had a really fine restaurant in Pennsylvania. They still do. It's Alfred's Victorian. And they just had a lot of passion for products. Even though the restaurant was in Pennsylvania, they imported everything from Italy, all the ingredients, and they had a fantastic chef. I started working there at a very early age and worked my way up through the kitchen. And it got in my blood, and I've been in kitchens ever since. I actually stay in the kitchen, even though I have a lot of presence out front. I like the kitchen because there's so much creativity and so many different ingredients. I mean, I'm still getting ingredients even today that I haven't used in the past. So you can imagine how much I learn at the same time.
It sounds like it's an art, and you're very much back there creating. It's a performance art in a lot of ways. So I happen to know what you're saying is spot on. So I learned about you mainly through your social media, which I really enjoy. And I see you with former employees, you're at charity events, you're always whipping up some really good looking stuff in the kitchen, in the back of the house. And it occurs to me that you seem to always be giving back, whether it's bringing in current employees, you know, former employees, showing what they're up to these days. Can you tell me a little bit about what drives you to give back? What drives you to show that sort of support?
You know, the people of the industry were a bunch of misfits, basically. I think I've probably been at it longer than anybody. So it's really my heart and love for the industry. I grew up in Hershey, PA. You know, my dad played for the Hershey Bears and we got all the chocolate we wanted for free. But that was a great town to grow up in for what I do, because that town is all built on hospitality. Milton Hershey built it during the Depression. He brought workers from Italy. They built the buildings, sold his caramel factory, started Research Chocolate, and built this whole town of hospitality. And I happened to grow up in it and work at Hotel Hershey and Hershey Park and a few really good restaurants there, including Alfred's Victorian. So, you know, it's really the passion and the heart for the people that are in the industry, and even more so now after, you know, what we've all gone through.
Yeah, for sure. Did you find yourself having to lend or having to flex a certain muscle during the pandemic that really sort of get through? Was there anything specific that you did or specific that you ran into that you found challenging? But what it did was it allowed you to be able to activate a certain part of yourself that maybe you just didn't know existed, or maybe you called on that DNA, right, during the pandemic that you were born with. Did you find that happen?
It's a long story. I was in Manhattan doing a tasting, kind of like the James Beard House. The diners were really happy. It's a little deeper than that, but I'll leave it at that. Came back, and then that was early February last year. And so you know what happened after that.
Yeah, we all do.
The thing that pretty much got me through was I have a terrific regional vice president and a great GM, and we kept me busy. You know, I did a lot of videos from home for the IMF, and I worked a lot from home. And that's very difficult to do as a chef that works with his hands. But, you know, I stayed busy. I adopted a dog, a Texas Heeler, and she's fantastic. And that year went by pretty fast, and we're all ready to get back to work.
Yeah, you make a great point. Somebody who works with their hands in a creative way like that, you had to have felt somewhat handcuffed, not being able to get into the kitchen and not be able to whip up some of those dishes that you're just so good at doing.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah, for sure. Are there any specific events that come to mind when you think about giving back? Because you've done a lot of this. Anything specific that you did that really kind of pushed you from your head into your heart when you're sort of consciously giving back to the community and the hospitality industry?
I met a few guys down in the Bahamas, and I offered to help with their charity, their foundation called the Smile Zone. And they looked me up and found out I was legitimate. They asked me, what would I need to do the dinner? And I told them. I went up, flew up to Toronto. We had a great event. I played around the golf with 300 Stanley Cup champions. They introduced me as a live auction. I was right after lead guitarist of Rush, Eric Lifeson. So I was sitting next to him. And I went up there. I said, I'm from this little town of Hershey. And, you know, my dad played hockey there. And they all knew who my dad was. And they auctioned me off to do a dinner for 10 people. And somebody paid $50,000. Now, it's all going to the charity. So for 10 people, $50,000, that didn't include any food or wine. Mm-hmm. And all the wine they were drinking were Margaux. I went back up into Canada and did a dinner on Lake Joe. The event was true, real big success, really big numbers that they raised, and they've done it every year since.
Wow. So you got auctioned off at $50,000 to cook a meal. That must have felt pretty good, especially since it was going into charity, huh?
Yeah, I flew up on my own dime and did this dinner. I ran for 22 hours.
Wow. Yeah,
it was a great event.
Sounds like it. It sounds like it was super exciting.
There were some really cool people there.
Yeah, I hear that. The lead guitarist of Rush. You just reminded me what his name was. I was digging in my brain trying to figure that out. So let me ask you something. So to either somebody who's up and coming, looking to excel in the culinary arts, whether they want to be a chef, sous chef, they want to get into the baking side of things, or pretty much not even necessarily in the hospitality side, but what's something that you wish you knew then that you know now? So what's something that you could bestow upon those who are in that stage of their career, life, something that you wish you knew then that you know now?
Well, that's a great question. And it goes both ways, because I would say mentoring. I do a lot of mentoring. But if you reverse it, you want to have a mentor that's young as well. Like, you know, you're young, you want to have a great mentor. I always say, you know, work for a great chef that's going to take their time, teach you, explain to you why things are a certain way. And that takes a lot of time. Stay with that person for years, because that's how long it'll take, and grow. But the other thing nowadays, too, you have to keep in mind that there's a whole new style. You know, what we do is arts and science. I don't think the science is ever going to change. I mean, we learned a lot from the pandemic, from COVID, and made a lot of adjustments for COVID. But the science will never change. Time and temperature and all the detail that goes into serving safe food and working together safely. But the art and being creative, I've seen a big change in the food, how it's plated and, you know, tweezers and everything. And it's, you want to be part of that as well. My career has spanned 4 decades. We were doing hot cuisine back in the 80s. So it's kind of coming, it's coming around full circle.
Yes, yes. You've seen a lot evolve, and things continue to evolve.
One day I'll write a book.
One day is today. Super interesting. That leads me to a couple of interesting things about you. So when I was a kid, my mother used to watch Julia Child. I would do an impression of her right now, but it would be horribly bad, so I won't do that. But so I understand that you actually prepared a meal for Julia Child in celebration of her 90th birthday. That is very cool. Tell me a little bit about that.
Even the smallest of teams, like I posted a picture of my cook and I, we're a team, 2 people. I always talk in means of teams, because Julia Child's, you want to talk about dishes. We did a 9-course dinner for 150. You think about all the glassware, you know, the china glass, silver that is happening during this event. It was on PBS. I was part of the team, and there were 30 of us, 30 cooks. So I'm still trying to find that video. I saw it once. I saw all my teammates and the whole thing. It was a huge event. The picture on top of my LinkedIn profile is the receiving line. And I was just shaking the Secretary of Agriculture's hand at the time. That event, amazing. I always say you better be good at math if you're a chef. I was thrilled to be there, thrilled to be part of the team. And I have a lot of stories about it.
I love that. It sounds super exciting. It sounds like a career highlight, being able to put on an event for someone so legendary in your field. I mean, honestly, to me, it's almost like a Julia Child is almost like a Babe Ruth, really. I mean, in terms of what she did, not just maybe for the industry, but just in terms of people like myself who, you know, I'm not a chef, I'm not in the culinary arts, and I saw her growing up, and that she represents what all of that means to me. So you being able to put on something like that for her to celebrate her 90th birthday is absolutely awesome.
Thank you. They brought her kitchen to the Smithsonian, and that was part of it.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. I love it. Very cool. Well, that's all the time we have. And this was an awesome conversation. So Chef, our listeners, our viewers want to see more of your work, or they want to get in touch with you. How does someone do that? How does someone find you? How does someone get in touch with you?
I'm pretty much on LinkedIn, Chef Dwayne Keller. I have a Facebook page, Chef Dwayne Keller. I have a new website. It's chefkeller.kitchen.
Chefkeller.kitchen. And what could someone find if they went to that website?
It's pretty entertaining. There's a blog, and I do little hacks, and there's lots of recipes and pictures of food.
Very good. Well, I'm sure everyone will enjoy that. Everybody follow Chef Keller on LinkedIn. It's Chef Dwayne Keller. And again, if someone wants to go to your website, the URL is?
Chefkeller.kitchen.
Beautiful. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much for being on Off the Clock. We look forward to seeing more of your creations on LinkedIn, and we'll be visiting that website. Have an awesome day, Chef Keller. And so thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to Off the Clock. Don't miss next week's tips around innovation and HR. Subscribe to the show. You can catch us on YouTube, Apple, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, be kind and thrive.